Welcome back to Mountain Money. We are excited to have Calvin Wright in the studio with us. He is the CEO of Coinbook, which is a startup company that is going to sort of create a transparent trading experience for cryptocurrencies. And we're going to start with a little bit, because this confuses me greatly, as to what are cryptocurrencies and how do they work?
Yeah, so the idea behind the cryptocurrency, Bitcoin was the first one. And it was invented right during the financial crisis, when a lot of banks were too big to fail. And a gentleman or a group that went by the pseudonym of Satoshi Nakamoto invented this this concept of a decentralized ledger where anybody has the ability to transfer goods in a trustless manner. And the good is a digital currency. So that's essentially where the concept came from. It's essentially a unit of money that is defined and rare and traceable and exchangeable. So that's essentially a high-level view of what it is.
Now, it may have been 40 years since I took macroeconomics in college, but when I learned about currencies, the intrinsic value came from a government guarantee. And that what made money money was that originally it was backed by gold, but over time it became this notion of, because the government stood behind it, it was worth something. Help me understand why a crypto has intrinsic value.
So the funny thing is you think that money has intrinsic value,
right,
because of a government guarantee or something like that. The last time the U.S. dollar had intrinsic value was when you could directly trade it for gold.
Right.
So when we went off of the gold standard, the U.S. dollar was essentially what people were willing to trade it for. So that's essentially what gives any item in a free market any value at all. So the funny thing is that a government might say, we're no longer going to use the dollar. Like, there are coins that have essentially gone out of circulation, but they still have value because collectors buy and sell them. And there is a market for these things. So what gives Bitcoin value is anything, is the same thing as any other market. And some of the peculiar characteristics of Bitcoin that make it valuable is the concept that it's rare.
Right, that's what I'm asking. Why is it rare?
Yeah, it is an inherent piece of the software that there will only be 21 million in existence.
Ever.
So you will never, nobody will ever get the 21 million and one first Bitcoin.
But who made the 21 million? Where's the Fort Knox of Bitcoin?
Exactly. So what happens, and this is how it stays decentralized, is that anybody can download a Bitcoin wallet. You would go to bitcoin.org, and you would get a wallet and download it onto your computer. Well, in that wallet, it holds the protocol and the instructions for how Bitcoin works. And it validates your wallet and the legitimate history of the blockchain behind it with everybody else's. If anyone's out of sync, then the blockchain or all the other users on the network will know to avoid your node. So it's the software that guarantees that. And if anyone decides to go rogue, all of the other people using legitimate versions of the software will block yours.
Oh, wow.
That's essentially how it works.
Well, in case you're just joining us, the time's 9:35. We're talking to Calvin Wight, CEO of Coinbook. And Calvin, thank you. This is the closest I have come to understanding Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. So I'm very grateful to you and Roger for this. Now, tell us what Coinbook is.
So the challenge with Bitcoin and where the market is underserved is that there are only maybe two or three places in the United States where you can actually go out and buy Bitcoin with dollars. It becomes a difficult thing. In the beginning of Bitcoin, the concept behind Satoshi Nakamoto's blockchain and all of this was that everyone would be able to mine Bitcoin. Well, now it is very, very expensive to mine Bitcoin. And so in order to get a Bitcoin, you can either buy a bunch of expensive equipment to mine it, or you can much easier fashion go to an exchange and buy the Bitcoin directly. Well, we are an exchange. So we set up this company about 9 months ago, and we're essentially trying to fill a gap in the industry where there needs to be a place for people who are new to Bitcoin and don't really understand it very well to go so that they can learn about it, get the philosophy behind Bitcoin and how it works, and have a safe place to buy and sell them. So you can get into Bitcoin by buying, and you can get out by selling, and you can go right back to cash.
And will your exchange be only Bitcoin, or will you be handling other cryptocurrencies as well?
We will begin with Bitcoin, and then we will add others as we go. And we have a very specific philosophy behind the coins that we add. In the Bitcoin and alternative coin, which they abbreviate as altcoins, space, there's a lot of hype. There's mm-hmm. a lot of mm-hmm. promises. There's a lot of pump and dumps. There's a lot of scams and things like that. Well, we want to be an exchange where somebody who's new to Bitcoin or new to altcoins can go and buy something safely. So we are choosing coins to add to our exchange that have already been through a massive hype cycle already. We're talking coins that are older than 4 years, which wow. in this industry is very long period of time. And so that way, when people are investing in these things, we have a higher chance of us giving somebody something of value that it, even after 4 years, there's still an active development team and there are people working around it. There's a community that's active and it's a safer place for expensive coins and cheap coins as well.
You mentioned the hype behind the cryptocurrency, and we've all heard the stories about somebody's 20-year-old kid who's, you know, a surf instructor down in Southern California living out of a van and has made $100,000 on Bitcoin. Is that really possible, or is that urban legend?
Well, it is still possible. In fact, that is kind of our story. How we came to be.
Tell more.
Yeah. So it's I'll make the story short, but I learned about Bitcoin about 5 years ago, and back then Bitcoin was trading at around $12. Well, my friend that introduced it to me, he eventually became the co-founder of Coinbook, but I when he explained to me the parameters of Bitcoin and everything, I was completely sold on it. And I said, I would like to buy 10. Here's $150. I'll give you a $3 premium on the price. So I bought 10 Bitcoins for, you know,
$120, yeah.
$150 since I paid more. But eventually, I mean, today with Bitcoin being around $6,500, those 10 Bitcoins are worth quite a lot more. Well, with this, We knew we wanted more Bitcoin and we wanted to get involved. Well, there are exchanges that have gone bankrupt in the past, and we got in touch with a company that was liquidating their inventory after a bankruptcy. And so we went and we bought all of their coins for a relatively small amount of money, you know, less than $30,000 for all of these altcoins. And this was at the beginning of 2017. And then Bitcoin went from $1,000 up to $20,000. And a lot of these altcoins began trading at higher prices than they had ever traded in their history. And we ended up selling at the right times, and we made quite a few million dollars.
Congratulations.
Off of our little thing. And that is our seed money that we are using to develop Coinbook.
And so you talked about how does one today convert Bitcoins into cash? Well, you know, all of a sudden I have, you know, 20 Bitcoins or 50 Bitcoins or whatever. What would be my alternative methods to turn it into cash, and how will you create something different?
Okay. So like we mentioned, that you need to go to an exchange. The two most popular ones are Coinbase and Gemini. Through the years, Coinbase and Gemini have kind of lost the fundamental reasons behind the philosophy of Bitcoin. Bitcoin was invented to get away from banking, right? It was invented at the end of the financial crisis, and the concept was, we want people to own your own money, to be your own bank, and that's what Bitcoin represents. Well, these larger exchanges have decided that they want to be the new bank for Bitcoin, which is essentially incomplete. It's a 180 from the concept of Bitcoin and how it was invented.
So they would be holding your Bitcoin, and you would have a like a right to that Bitcoin, but not the Bitcoin itself. Have
exactly.
I got that right?
Yes. So similar to how our fiat works. When we swipe a card for groceries, we are essentially asking permission from our bank to buy groceries, which that's the concept that the inventors of Bitcoin were trying to get away from.
Right.
So our concept and what we want to do differently is bring the philosophy back to the way it was in the beginning. And so we don't intend on being a bank. We will be a perfect on-ramp and an off-ramp, but we encourage our users to not leave their coins on our exchange. And we also encourage our users and teach them how to hold Bitcoin securely by themselves. And the best way to do that is through a hardware wallet.
Okay.
It's a device that you can carry around, and you can move your Bitcoins to that. It's offline. And it's a physical place where you can control your Bitcoins and keep them for when you want to use them.
You don't have one in your pocket, do you?
I do, actually.
I was hoping you would pull it out and show it to us.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I have it.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Oh, it's in the green room.
It was the principle of the thing. I would have been disappointed had you said that you didn't have one.
We'll have to get a picture of it, and then we'll put it on our website.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
So again, I can think of three models, right? I've got a bank where I have merely a right to get money. I have a brokerage house which holds stocks in my name, but the actual stock certificates, to the extent they exist, are in street name or being held by the brokerage company. And then I have what I think you're doing, which is you're going to sell me the Bitcoin, and I'm going to have that manifestation of value in the piece of hardware that you're going to show me after the show's over.
That is correct. Okay. So
I think I followed that.
So it's interesting because And we kind of feel like there have been a lot of people in the industry that have kind of sold out to the highest bidder. And that's really the inspiration behind our exchange. We want to educate people and say, hey, this, you know, we're not trying to get people crazy, you know, like don't go mortgage your house and go straight into Bitcoin and go all in or anything like that. But for the people that keep $1,000 at home in cash for emergencies and things, well, why not have $1,000 in Bitcoin on a physical device? It's just the same concept.
We may have to have you back to help us talk about how I spend Bitcoin.
right. Yeah.
But before we run out of time today, talk real briefly about your infrastructure as a business, about the brokerage. How many employees are you going to have? Will you have a physical site? Just give us a little bit.
Are you
that.
Up and running now?
We are not up and running yet, but we have a mostly operational beta version working. Our trade engine is complete. All the legal and auditing behind
the
business is already in place. We have a little bit of development to go, and we're essentially ready to go. Our biggest challenge has been finding a bank that will work with us.
Mm.
And so we are buttoning up kind of the final touches on that, and we'll be in full operation. Our site is coinbook.com. That is the location of the exchange, and that'll be essentially our connection with the public.
And will your physical location be here in the Greater Park City area?
We are located in Salt Lake, so
okay.
We will be there, but our servers and things will be stored in the cloud, and so we'll have all the replication and redundancy and security that you could ever ask for.
We at KPCW think of Salt Lake as part of the Greater Park City area, so we'll take that as a yes. We've been talking to Calvin Wright, the CEO of Coinbook. I have many more questions for him, and I'm sure many of our listeners do too.
Calvin Wait.
It helps if I can read an E from an R. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you for tolerating my dyslexia.